Amen. So we're going to begin this lesson is the integrity of God's word. Okay. And it starts by speaking about the book of the Gospel of Mark. And in Mark 4, it is, you know, it shows us that it's a pretty cool chapter about the integrity of God's word, the power, the character, and the faith that is spoken about in this gospel, actually. So, and then if you go into the Gospel of Mark, you're also going to see about at least 10 parables that were taught, you know, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you compare Mark 4, chapter 4, the book of Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and even the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, you're going to see how these gospels, you know, the Lord is just speaking parables, speaking stories to the disciples, and so to give them a greater understanding. And in one of these parables, the Lord is speaking about the sower sowing seed, right? And in Mark 4:26, you don't need to go there right now, I believe. Let me check. Well, we can go there because it's not part of the question. Sometimes when I do the lessons, whatever verse is on the lesson is usually on the question, but it's not. So I think I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to the Gospel of Mark. And I'm going to go to 4:26 right now. And I'm going to read up on it. Let's see what it says. 4:26, it's the parable of the growing seed, right? And it says, and he said, the kingdom of God, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, right? Then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So I believe this lesson is going to be breaking some of these verses down. So in Mark 4:26, it says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So remember that in verse 14, let's go to verse 14. Well, actually, you don't need to go there, but I'm going to go to verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word, right? And we can liken the word of God as the seed, right? So you know, it's a synonym, right? So in the verse 14, it says the seed is the word of God. So God isn't really teaching you how to be a farmer, but it's using a natural thing.
Is it me or is it you?
What?
Melissa?
What?
She froze. Is it me? Frozen?
Can you guys hear me?
Oh.
Because I'm recording
it. You were frozen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
You got frozen.
Okay, could be my internet. So. So.
Right. It was so cold.
So, Mark 14, it says, the sower sows the word. So remember that in verse 14, right, it says the seed is the word of God. That's what we're saying. God isn't really teaching you how to be a farmer, but it's using a natural thing to illustrate spiritual truth. You know, this is the word of God. So the Lord is teaching us truth right now. This is why we have Bible studies. We want to know the truth of the word, because when you're in the word, the truth of the word sets people free. And we are people that we need to walk in freedom, total freedom. Amen. And this is what the Lord requires. Walk in freedom. Walk in my freedom. You know? And then in verse 27, right? It says, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Now, I believe this is important, right? Again, you know, I don't know what version you have, but in my lesson, I have the King James version, right? But I believe this is really important because it says the man doesn't really understand. He doesn't know how this is happening, right? Like, it's so amazing that how God created, let's say, a plant, right? You plant a seed. And all of a sudden, this little seed becomes a tree, and this tree can bear fruit. And it's just amazing how this whole creation happens. Like, sometimes you think about it, and even with your, you know, with moms, right? You conceive a child, and it's just amazing, right? How that little conception, that intimate moment with your spouse, there's a little seed, and that was deposited, a sperm, right? And now and 9 months later, this seed becomes a child. Like, God created this. Like, God made mankind. He created women and men. I mean, it's just amazing when you think about it. You know what I mean? So some people may say, you know what? I just don't understand what you're talking about, right? You know, when they read the word, this is why we got to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, can you just bring me more understanding while I'm reading the word? Because, you know, when you read this parable, if you read it really fast at a glance, you may be looking at it and you may be saying, you know what? I really don't understand exactly what it's saying. What is the purpose of this parable? But you got to ask the Holy Spirit to interpret this, these verses to you, you know? So here we have in verse 28, it says, for the earth yields crops by itself, right? So the earth was made to incubate seed and to germinate and release that life, right? Your heart was made for the word of God. It really was. God's word was created to be placed in your heart. Remember in scripture, it says that God has written the laws, his word, in your heart. That's what scripture says. So just taking a Bible and holding it close, right? Putting it on the coffee table or carrying it with you doesn't have any virtue, right? It doesn't release power in your life. You have to take the word of God, make it a seed, right? Plant it in your heart, and then it's going to produce power. And when you do that, your heart is designed to bring forth fruit of itself, right? I mean, we all know when we begin to confess the word of God, when we start imagining, you know, what the word is saying, things come to pass. The fruit of what you're saying comes to pass. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, and when we do this, it will automatically change the way things work in your life. It has changed in my life, the way I proclaim this word and how I make it. I have planted this word in my heart already, you know, and it's so much easier to confess and declare and decree the word of God. So it has brought a lot of change in my life, even in my work life. It has changed a lot of areas at my job. Just by declaring the word, just asking God, I thank you for your wisdom, the understanding, especially during training. You know, we need the wisdom of God because there's certain things that we don't understand in our own jobs. But the Lord's wisdom will give you everything that you need. You know, the word of God says to commit your works to the Lord, right? And then he will establish your thoughts. That's in Proverbs 16:3. So it's, the word is so powerful. And this is why it's so important to be in the word and know the word. Even listening, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, some of us, you know, I drove today and I listened to the word. You know, I didn't have time to read, but I had time to listen to the word. And I was driving to work and I was listening to the Gospel of John. I just finished it and I started listening to the book of Acts. So, you know, we have the word. That's our seed right now, right? So then it goes on to say, you know, when the verse continues here and it says, I believe in verse 28, it continues by saying, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head, right? And a lot of times I ask myself, what the heck does that mean, right? So it the verse continues to declare that, right? And this implies that there are stages or steps, right, to growth and maturity. And we've all been there. People come to me all the time expressing that they're believing God for something really good, a godly thing. And I can agree with, right, with that. But if they have never done anything, if they have never led a person, right, to the Lord, I can guarantee they're not really going to have some type of ministry within just a few weeks, right? It takes time. I didn't just become a pastor. I mean, I went to church. I started cleaning toilets in a church. I became a servant, you know, and I did that for a number of years. I taught Bible studies. You know, I didn't know that years later God was going to call me to be a pastor. You know, he was preparing me. I didn't know that he was preparing me for such a time as today, right? So if I would have never done anything, you know, in the first church that I belonged to, I don't think I would be where I'm at today, right? That's how I see it. So we have to, you and I, we have to do things in steps. Things don't happen overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day, you know? So there are stages to receiving from God, and that's what this parable is really illustrating. So first of all, you have to start. You got to begin somewhere, right? And then comes the hope, and then the faith, right? And then it produces results. So there's always steps to victory. Like right now, you know, at my job, you know, it's been almost 3 years, but I started low, and now every year I came up higher and higher and higher. But there were steps that I needed to take, right? Just like anything else, there's steps. You know, you don't get good at basketball just by playing 4 or 5 games. No, you got to practice, and you got to practice, and you got to practice, and then you're going to get really good at it, right? You know, a lot of times they say, you know, you've heard this before, you know, when you do something for 30 days, it becomes a habit, and you become really good at it, right? So this is almost what it's talking about. You got to take steps, right? And this is what this is illustrating. There are steps that you got to take. You got to start. Then you begin to exercise your hope and then your faith. And then you're going to see results, right? And these are the steps that we got to take in order to walk in victory. You know, no one's going to go from 0 to 1,000 miles per hour all at once. It's impossible, right? So, you know. You may want to, you know, but a lot of times you got to go God's speed. God didn't rush on earth, right? It was God's speed. He went from person to person, right? He didn't run. He took his time. He took his time and he did what God the Father told him to do. So, So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're not in a lot of times people like, whatchamacallit, they want things instantly, like a microwave. You put something in, it warms up and it heats up really quickly. Ministry's not like that. You know, it's going to take time. You're going to have to take some steps. And just like in everything, you want to get good at something, you got to prepare for it. You got to take steps. You know, things will not happen right away. Amen. So the scripture, what is showing here is that the kingdom of God is like a seed. The word has to be planted in your heart, right? And growth comes in stages, right? That's why the word of God says, you know, you're safe now, but now you got to begin to renew your mind, right? And this is a daily process. These things don't happen overnight. You don't go from being from having an addiction, right? You know, when you become a Christian, you know, the same habits mm-hmm. you have when you became a Christian, you're still going to have them after you're born again, because it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. You got to go through a process. It's a slow process. Can you do it? Yes, because now you have power, dominion, and authority to say no to those addictions, but it's a process. Things don't happen overnight. And we got to ask the Lord to help us, because we can't do it on our own. And this is why we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now has sealed you. And now he's the one that's going to assist you and help you and guide you for you to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. These are all stages that we gotta take. So now, you know, we're growing in stages, right? And the word of God says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So the next verse here in Mark 4, it says, but when the fruit is brought forth immediately, right? It says immediately he puts it in a sickle, right? Because the harvest has come. So there are stages, but eventually there will be a time of fruitfulness and maturity, right? I think we can all say that we're pretty mature in the word of God. We're not babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not drinking milk. We want food. We want the meat, right? We want to know more. We want to learn more. Yeah. We're past the infancy stage. You know, we want more. We want more of God, right? So this point is made in verse 35. I think he's taking me to verse 35, right? And it says here, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So Jesus had been teaching them all day about the power of the word. How the word is like a seed, how it will release God's life into your life. He's been teaching them this in at least 10 parables. So here he gives them a test and he tells them, all right, here's the word from the Lord, right? Let's go to the other side of the lake. He didn't say, let's get into the boat, go halfway across the lake and drown, but let's go to the other side. Then he got into the boat, right, and went to sleep, right? So the story goes that a great storm came and water filled the boat, right? You remember that story? So you have to remember that this wasn't a cabin cruiser with berths, right, below deck, where Jesus was dry and didn't know what was going on. It was an open boat, and the Lord Jesus was asleep, sloshing around in the water, right? The reason this was significant is because he knew what was going on. Remember, God knows all things, right? But he was still trying to sleep. And the disciples got upset and came to him and said, Master, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? In other words, they were saying, do something. Get a pail. Get and bail out this water. Or row the boat. Do something. You're not pulling your weight, Lord. You're sleeping right now. Hello, do you not care about us? You know, this is what the disciples were in essence saying, right? And many times people do the same thing with God today and say, God, why haven't you done something? God has done something. He's provided everything we need through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has produced his word, right? He's given us all the seeds, and it's our job, it's our duty to sow them into our hearts, right? This is why I say every Sunday is so important for us to know the word, because the seed of the word has to be sown in our hearts. So he's given us the scripture, the Holy Bible, and it's our job to take the seed, put it in our hearts, and meditate on it until it releases life. But the disciples wanted to wake up the Lord Jesus and say, why don't you do something? So he got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and then came a calm, right? Then he turned around and said to his disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? He didn't say to them, hey guys, I'm sorry, I should have done something. No, his part was to teach them the word and give them promises. And it was their part to take the word, right, and believe the promises already in it. God has provided everything through the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth. He gave you and I everything it takes to succeed in every area of your life in seed form in the word. So all you have to do is take the seeds of the word of God and plant them in your hearts through reading it, meditating on it, thinking on it, and letting that word, right, that seed of the word take root on the inside of you. And as you begin to do that, you will be able to stand up and stop those storms in your life. Amen? Can we all agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Because this is the word. This is the seed. God gave us this written word with purpose. With purpose. This is why this is the Bible is the Bible is the book that is mostly sold in the world. Out of all the books in the world that have been written, this is the one that has the highest profit, amen, in stores, because this is in every household, in every hotel, there is a Bible. In every church, there's a Bible, you know. So this book of the Lord right here, this Bible is in every part of the world. And it's the number one book that is mostly sold in every store that sells them. And it's in every household. You go to any household, I can guarantee you there's a Bible. Whether it's open or not, but there's still a Bible. Amen? So I believe, right, that God's best for these disciples was to teach them, right? The Lord was teaching them and how to really walk in that faith that the Lord has showed them throughout the Lord walking on earth and how he was delivering people, healing people, casting demons out. I mean, the disciples witnessed how God was speaking, how he always went to Father God to, you know, for guidance, for assistance. I mean, they witnessed the best of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were with him. They walked with him on earth. So we know that God's best, God the Father, his best was his son Jesus. He gave the disciples his son Jesus. And he was, the Lord was the one that was teaching the disciples on the word of God, on the seed, on how you have to plant it in your hearts. Right?
Yeah.
And when he told them, let's go to the other side, that was the teaching right there. Because they could have said, according to everything he taught to us, right, today, this is a promise. This is the creator of the universe who said, let's go to the other side. Not let's go halfway and drown. They could have taken the word, right, mixed it with faith, and rebuked the wind and the waves themselves. But they didn't.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus had to do it for them. And he said, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? So you know what? We need to believe God's word and act upon it. That's the bottom line. We got the word.
Yeah.
Remember, the disciples didn't have a Bible. These Bibles came decades later. I mean, decades of years later. Amen. But they have the Lord Jesus. He's the word. Remember, the scripture says the word became flesh. The Lord Jesus is the word. Is the word. And he was here on earth teaching the disciples and teaching them on faith, teaching them how to depend on the promises of God, teaching them how to have hope, teaching them patience, right? Teaching them all along what to say, what not to say, how to walk, how not to walk, because he was the perfect example for them. And they should have known better. After walking with the Lord, they should have, you know, picked up on it. When the Lord said, let's go to the other side, you know, I said, it doesn't matter whether the storm or not, we're going to make it to the other side, because the Lord said, let's go to the other side.
Amen.
He spoke it. And this story reminds me of, remember in the Old Testament when Abraham and Isaac, right? Remember Abraham and Isaac, and the Lord told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, right? And when Abraham took Isaac in his hands and they started going up the mountain, right? They were at the bottom. He told the guys, his servants, he said, wait here, we will be back. Right?
Yeah.
That was faith right there. He, you know, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Right? But yet, Abraham truly believed that God would provide another sacrifice. But he went all along, he tied his son, he put him on up on the mountain. He lifted up the knife, and at the second he lifted up the knife, an angel or a voice of the Lord says, stop. Now I know I can trust you. And then God provided, I believe, a ram, and that became the sacrifice that he used for the Lord. Amen. But again, we're talking about faith, just like when the Lord Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Let's go over to the other side. No matter what, whether there's a storm or not, they were going to get to the other side. Amen.
Right.
And Abraham, the same things. He told the guys, me and the boy will be back. Wait for us right here. So that's faith. That's walking by faith. Amen. Powerful. Powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the questions now. And do you have any questions before we get to the lesson questions?
No, we had the authority, you know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. All they had to do was rebuke the wind and the waves, just like the Lord Jesus did. We have power. We have power. We have power in our words. Yeah. When we speak the word of God, there is power. There's power being released. And when that word of God is released, it establishes a purpose. And it's done.
Yeah, and the thing is that Jesus showed them how to speak to the storm.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
And with a few words.
Very few words. And, you know, we know from the Gospels that the Lord spoke very few words. When he laid hands on people, when he delivered people, when, you know, when he spoke to people, very few words. He commanded and it was done in very few words. That's the Lord. And we need to learn from the Lord, right? All right, so let's go to the questions. Question number one, let's read Matthew 13:19. And I'm going to read from my Bible because I don't want to read the King James Version right now. 13:19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So the question is, if we do not plant God's word into our hearts, what will happen to it?
Take it away. Snatched away from us.
Mm. Yeah, the wicked one is going to come in and just take it away so we don't produce fruit in our lives. And as believers, we should be producing fruit every day. Every day we should be, you know, sharing the fruit of the gospel with other people. We should be producing whatever we produce, which is good, right? Because the word produces good things, right? We got to use it to give glory to God and to bring, I would say, edification, encouragement to other people. Because you never know, a smile can make a difference in somebody else's life. Especially when you go to the stores. You know, we're in December, right? It's the holidays. A lot of people are missing loved ones right now. And you can go to the store. You can see, like, maybe a cashier or somebody working. And they, you know, they may have, like, a sad face on. And listen, just by you speaking one or two words, that they it can lit up their smile. And their face can lit up maybe their eyes. You know, one word can really make a difference in somebody's life. One good word. And, you know, if you don't know what to say, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what can I say to this person that will, you know, edify her spirit today, you know? And God is faithful. He'll answer you. God is faithful because he wants that. He wants to use us for his kingdom glory. Amen. Mm-hmm. Joshua 1:8. You know, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success, right? That's what the book of Joshua says. So here, the question is, when should we meditate on the word of God?
Always.
Always, all day, all night.
Yeah, always. You know, day and night. And again, that doesn't mean that, you know, every 5 seconds, you know, 24/7, like every second of the day, you're speaking the word of God. No, that just says, you know, just be aware that the word of God is life for you. You know, that just make the Lord, make yourself aware that the Lord is with you, that the Lord can mm-hmm. guide you, can assist you. So if something comes up, an issue comes up, that automatically you go to God instead of going to a friend, that you go to God instead of going to a spouse, that you go to God instead of going to a child or something. This is just make yourself aware that, you know, God is with you 24/7. But that doesn't mean you're going to be speaking the word 24/7. It just says that we should be meditating on the word day and night, throughout the day, throughout the night. That doesn't mean 24/7, right? So many seconds a day, so many minutes a day. No, it just meditate on the word as God places it in your heart, right? As you are reminded. When you look at something, when you look at the sky, you know, right away, if I look at the sky, I said, my Lord, look at this beautiful sky. Like, I just acknowledge the beauty of God's creation and creativity. You know, just things around you should remind you of God, should remind you of how good God is. Just look at yourself, look at your family. God is good. What God created is good. He even rested and says, and he looked at creation and says, wow, what I did was good, because God created good things. Doesn't create junk, you know? So that's basically what it means. Just meditate on the word of God day and night, and you will be prosperous. Amen. Let's read John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So here the question is asking, according to the verse that we just read in John 6:63, God's word is
spirit and life.
Exactly. The Lord's word is spirit. I mean, God is spirit, we're spirit beings, right?
And
we have life. We're living the abundant life. God has given us a brand new life, right? Mm-hmm. A life full of light and truth now. So his word will continue, hallelujah, to be spirit and life. In other words, it's going to continue to be truth for us, a nourishment for us. Amen. It's going to bring freedom to us. It is spirit and life.
Amen.
Yes. I think I said this before. Did I say this before? Okay, read Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This has become one of my favorite scriptures, right? Mankind should live not by physical food alone, but by what? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It says it right here in scripture. Isn't this how the Lord Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, and Satan tempted him with the word of God, but then the Lord came back and said, no, it is written that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, by every word that is from this book, this holy Bible. Because this holy Bible was inspired by God. And this is true. This is life. This is spirit right here. The spirit of the Lord, hallelujah, is all over this word. Amen. This is life right here. Life everlasting.
That's
so
right.
We got to live by the word. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Ephesians 6:17. This is talking about the armor of God, right? And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right? So God's word in this verse is like what kind of weapon? Exactly. So when you read these verses, Ephesians 6:17 is describing the armor of God. And here the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Again, we go back to the question before. It is the Lord Jesus came back with the word, with the sword of the Spirit, came back and attacked Satan with the word. And Satan got tired. I mean, Satan tempted the Lord Jesus 3 times. And after the 3rd time, because the Lord kept using "it is written," right? After the 3rd time, Satan had to go. He says, oh, I'm done. I can't beat him. Of course you can't. You know, he's God. Yeah. Amen. He already defeated you, so you under his feet. All right. Can a sword do damage to its enemy?
Yes. Jesus.
Exactly. You know, absolutely it can.
Me.
Absolutely. It sure can. It reminds me of David and Goliath, right?
Yeah.
Right, I come to you, right, in the name of the Lord, right? That's what David said. I come to you in the name of the Lord, and today I will have your head. And he took that sword and he chopped off the head. But he spoke it, right? Just like the Lord said, let's go to the other side, right? Just like Abraham said, we'll be back. That little boy, David, before he became king, he told that giant, the Philistine, you know what? This day, I'm going to have your head. And you're going to lose. You're going to lose. So he called it. He declared it. And it happened. So here, you know, can a sword do damage to its enemy? Absolutely. Let me tell you, you can do great damage to Satan and the enemy. Just speak the word.
What?
Speak the word. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Liz, can you hear me?
Mm. Yes.
Okay. So it could be Rosie that the internet may be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's on the phone. Oh.
Yeah, I'm on the phone, but right. It's okay.
Okay, Romans 8:6, right? This is what it says. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Not just life, but life and peace. Look at that, spiritually minded, right? So the question says, when we give proper place to God's word in our lives, we will have fill in the blank.
Life and peace.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, think about it. What is life to you? What is peace to you? When we put ourselves in a proper place, you know, with God's word in our lives, right? When that word is written in our hearts, it's telling us that we will have life and peace. Don't we all need peace, peace of mind? There's so many things going on in this world, right? And the one thing that we need is peace. And this is why the Lord Jesus came. He is the Prince of Peace. We have peace. You just have to tap into it. We have peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what the word says. We just got to grab hold of it and don't let go. Don't let go of that peace. Amen.
True. Amen.
Let's go to the next question, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So it says here, this is the question, what we set our attention on is what we become full of. So what should we set our focus on?
The glory of God.
On the Lord?
It's both. Yeah. It's both. It's, yeah. It's yeah. On the Lord and the glory of God.
Yeah.
It's on both. Exactly. You know, we were talking about setting our minds on and focusing on the Lord in the, you know, past couple weeks, right? We got to put our gaze on the Lord. The Lord is the Word, right? The Lord is the Word of God. In the Lord, there's life. In the Lord, there's peace, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to keep our mind on the Lord and His glory. We are glory carriers. We have a holy temple. So we gotta keep our minds on the heavenly things. Amen. So we can continue to walk in that peace and know you need to know who you are in this world. Amen. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. It's not in man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on your past. It's not defined by your past mistakes. It's not defined by your failures. It's not defined on how you committed sin last night. Ain't defining nothing. Your identity is in Christ, period. As mm-hmm. the Lord is, so are you in this world. You were made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, and this is why we gotta keep our minds on the Lord, because He created you, and what He created is good. Very mm-hmm. good. Amen? God is good. God is for you. He's never against you. Amen? So this lesson is about the integrity of God's word. There is power in the word of God. And we got to keep the integrity of the word of God in our hearts. Amen? Because it is truth. It is life. It's food for us. But in that, we have victory. We have victory because we are glory carriers. And the word of God is already written in our hearts.
That's right.
That's how God created. Listen, God created you to worship Him. God created you with a measure of faith. God created you and just like His Son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing missing. You don't have anything. You lack nothing in Christ. You lack nothing in Christ Jesus. He created you in perfection. Remember, as the Lord is, so are you right now in this world. So be encouraged, because you are exactly where you need to be. Amen. God doesn't make mistakes. Nothing happens in coincidence. But keep meditating on the word. Keep meditating on the heavenly things of the Lord. And trust me, our life is so much better when we keep our minds and hearts set on Him. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.